If you talk to the average teenager of today and you ask them what it is about
pop culture
that they like, and the first thing they'll say is the beat.
Get yourself addicted.
Welcome into the Pop Culture Pile Driver. Get addicted to the content. I am Jason Ross. He can be followed across all social media platforms with this lovely little handle at Jason D. Rossi. The at Jason Rossi guy has been inactive for 10 years, and I believe I can claim that soon. Maybe.
Really?
Yeah, I believe it's there's something about 10 years that you can claim a Twitter handle. Also, a little note about Twitter in the introduction. We're not going to get into the political side of this, but Elon Musk buying Twitter, talking about free speech. I think Billy D 2411 should come out of
bring it back. No, come on,
get it out of there. Come on. And if you are on that Twitter machine, whether you're watching this program or you saying hateful things or being a bully, you can follow us at Pop Culture PD. We are not the police, but there's only so many characters. And it will instantly make you more free speechy. And with me, as always, is the guy I was talking about, my tag team partner in the podcast sphere. He can be followed on Twitter for now at Billy Yee 2411, on the other socials at Billy D 2411, and his OnlyFans, which went up for free recently, Bill. I thought that was a risky call, but some people, you got to give a little to get a lot.
How do you get him hooked?
I love it. It's the April Showers Mayflower special, so you can have him play with your flower if you want. He is at Billy D over on that OnlyFans. He is Billy D. What's going on, man?
Hello. Yeah, I mean, get me back on Twitter. That would be great. I would love that. You know, get back the old handle, get back the old videos. Because sometimes, like, I post a video and then I lose it. So the only place where it can be located for me is on Twitter.
Yeah, listen, he's out there. He's on Billy Yee, but the Billy D was years and years of work, sweat, tears, grinding, and probably some inappropriate DMs. So we should get it back.
I could go Bully D, because I'm not only am I a bully, but I'm an inspiration. I don't know if you know this, but recently a podcast was inspired just by me, the top 10 television bullies that Matt and Goo did like a week ago.
I did see them do that, and I did like it. I was surprised. Well, they did top 11, right? They didn't do top 10.
No, they did top 10. Every once in a while, they have an accidental podcaster's dozen.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I know. They haven't adopted it. It's not.
It was the same week. We did it like simultaneous mistakes.
What are you going
to do? That's our podcast. That's what we should be named our secondary. That's the off-brand live show, just simultaneous mistakes. You can subscribe to this podcast over on iTunes. We would appreciate that very much. You can leave a 5-star review. Hell, a 4-star review. God damn it, give it a 3-star. Just give it any sort of review. We would much appreciate that. It goes a long way to helping us and other people find us. You can find us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music. Like and subscribe over on the YouTube if you're watching live. And we are part of the Facebook group, the Dork Shared Gooniverse, where you get all the mad men and, well, just men. It's a very men-only club here for the Dork Shared Gooniverse.
And to talk about Max comment real quick, because he was in the chat, and a lot of people have asked this, the Bill Yee versus Kanye, and people are like, I took it as the Yee for Billy D, I don't know, but like there's Yeezys, right? And he's like, he's Yay, I don't know, it makes no sense to me, Kanye's crazy, so I don't know what it should be, but either one sounds good to me.
What do I say?
I don't know.
I honestly don't even know. I like at this point.
It's like when people ask me how they like, well, you want to be called Bill, Billy? I was like, I don't care.
But literally, I said, when I said at Billy Yee, I say Yee, Billy Yee.
Yeah. Like D.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were doing. And you're a fan of Kanye West for some crazy reason. But nonetheless, hey,
he's
all
an amazing artist and pretty good shoe creator.
You do. You did collect the shoes for a while. Are you still doing that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I enter the raffles. I don't buy them aftermarket.
I was going to say, because that seems like a lot of your income would be going towards those.
They're still pretty expensive when you buy them for real.
Max says, you said Billy E. I don't believe you, Mac. Not for a second. I'll have to go back on post. I don't believe I said Billy E, but it's also when I speak really fast, which I do 90% of the time, who knows what the hell's coming out of my mouth. And this podcast nonprofit partner is Frank Says Hi. You can check out franksayshi.com to check out how we over at Frank Says Hi are helping those affected by cancer, teaming up with the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. We got ourselves a big program here, Bill. Big one. The year we're going to rewind the clock 15 years to 2007. In a moment, we'll go through, take a little snapshot of what was going on in the year of 2007. But first, as soon as I said to you, we kind of went over our options. You said 2007. What was the next text you sent to me, Bill?
Yikes. It's fucking terrible. Like this out of the, you know, sometimes we give you like 1999, which is one of the greatest years in music. Just nothing but bangers. It is crazy how many unbelievable songs are on it. This was fucking terrible. And it might have added to it because none of these songs, usually I have a lot of them, almost half of them, at least from the time we were in like, you know, middle school and college, you have a lot of those songs from that year. Like I had maybe 12 to 14 and I was driving around and like it wouldn't play the next song because I never fucking downloaded it because it's a shit song. And I was just like, I was getting pissed. Like, and then like when the song would come on, it's Your Way to Beautiful. Like it was annoying. There was some, it's still like, it's a whole year of music. So there are some great songs like all sure. times, but for the most part, like you created a category for this one. I never want to hear that song again. And there's a lot of innumerable.
Yeah, there is quite a few. This is a tough year. This is a year I don't even know how to define it. We can maybe as we go through it. If you do want to play along and this is your first time maybe seeing us or hearing us talk about a jukebox, what we do, we will have at the end five categories. We're going to put one song from each category into the, we'll go with
Vault.
The PCP jukebox that doesn't exist yet in real place, but one day we'll probably bring it to some 24/7 diner. But if you want to know what songs qualify, they have to be on the Billboard year-end Hot 100 singles of the year. So there's plenty of popular songs from 2007. You might be like, oh, guys, but what about this or that? But they have to qualify. We have to have some form of rules and regulations.
The songs I like, by the way, from this are kind of annoying and by bands you kind of hate. Like it's crazy.
It is. So, again, if you want to check out, just Google Top 100. There's a whole Wikipedia. It gives you the whole list. So if you want to throw songs out, if you're listening live, you can tweet at PopCulturePD if you're listening after. So let's
wait. I do it real quick. I think it is the best way. If you have Spotify, I'm sure Apple Music does the same thing. Is you just type in Billboard and then the year, and then it'll give it to you in the exact order. Sometimes they have a shit version. This year didn't have any shit versions, just a lot of shit.
See, here's the problem. Google or Amazon Music doesn't do that.
Yeah, well, get with the Spotify.
Oh, wait, Billboard Hot 100 hits. I think it's just modern. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, maybe I'll find that later. Okay, I don't want to pay for Spotify. Okay, so 2007, snapshot of the year. Then we'll play our famous quiz. Steve Jobs was the most famous American. Bill, this is a wild one. Apple introduced the iPhone.
Wow. I remember having an iPod in early days of college, and somebody thought it was a Walkman. Because I, looked poor anyways. I probably shouldn't have an iPod at the time.
Speaking of phones, Google launched the Android operating system. Internet Explorer and Firefox were the top web browsers.
Fair.
Neither one should be in anyone's use today.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's like Netscape. It's gone.
Yeah. See ya. Is Internet Explorer even still available?
I'm sure you can get it.
I know Firefox is.
Dude, Bing's still a thing.
Yeah, I guess that's true. No more Ask Jeeves, though. Amazon launched the Kindle. Popular TV shows of the year 2007, American Idol, Dancing with the Stars, Desperate Housewives, meow, House, and CSI. Ooh. Bill, this one, the tough times. Time Magazine's Person of the Year was Vladimir Putin.
Well, I mean, he was interesting. Hitler was once, too.
I guess, but tough times looking at that now. Best Picture was No Country for Old Men. Best Actor, Daniel Day-Lewis, There Will Be Blood. Best Actress, I don't even know how to say her name. I'll go with Marion Cotillard from a movie I can't pronounce. Primetime Emmys, Bill, were won by 30 Rock. You had The Sopranos, won Best Drama. You had Ricky Gervais win for Extras for Outstanding Actor in a Lead Comedy. America Ferrera for Ugly Betty, which feels like that was 100 years ago.
Yeah, I would have. If you could have told me that was on in the early 2000s, I would have believed you.
Yeah, I don't know. I remember the ads during Lost, but I don't remember the show or ever watching it. But hey, nonetheless, Carrie Underwood won the Grammy for Best New Artist at that time. So she made her way into the scene. The number one movie of the year, Bill, was Spider-Man 3 in the box office.
Not one of your favorites.
I like that movie. That's the weird part.
You really like Spider-Man 1, too.
Listen, it's a great film. But this was the year of third. So Spider-Man 3. Shrek the Third came out. Pirates of the Caribbean at the World's End, which was their third.
Yeah, that wasn't a good one either, though.
Bourne Ultimatum, the third in that series. And just for note, Bill, that was also the year that Wild Hogs came out.
Hey, hell of a movie.
I'm sure it was. All right, here's a little pop quiz for you. In sports, Bill, I have six questions for you. I've added to wrestling-wise. Who won the NBA championship in 2007?
2007 is a bad year all around for me in a lot of ways. But NBA championship 2007, so this would be the year before the Celtics won it. So was it the Lakers?
It would be the Spurs. Spurs won it. Lakers had a little dry spell there for a few years. Who won the Stanley Cup? I'll give you points if you tell me either team. It's the most random Stanley Cup of all time.
Maybe that helps. 2007?
Yes. No, the whole thing is 2007. Don't stop.
Yeah, I know that's a dumb thing to say. I don't know. The New Jersey Devils?
That's a hell of a guess. It was the Anaheim Ducks. Oh. And bonus if you get who they played. I honestly couldn't tell you if they've won. I don't think they've...
The Florida Panthers?
It's a good guess. It was the Ottawa Senators.
Oh, okay.
Don't think they've been to a Stanley Cup since, and I couldn't tell you they were in that one. Who won the Super Bowl in 2007?
The year that it was played.
Correct.
So not the Patriots.
Not the Patriots. They didn't win the next year either.
I mean, well, so it was the year the Colts.
The Indianapolis Colts won the Super Bowl. Who won the World Series?
That was the Red Sox.
Boston Red Sox, baby. Who won the Royal Rumble?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Randy Orton.
Nope, he did not. Not Jesus. Not Randy Orton. It would have been The Undertaker. And oh. Bill, WrestleMania 23 took place that year. What was the main event?
Oh, crap. This is when I was completely out. But I would say, was this one of the first? Was this like Cena Triple H?
The year off. It was Cena Shawn Michaels.
Fuck, I was going to say that.
Which is maybe one of the more underrated main events. I've recently rewatched.
It's not bad. Yeah, it's not bad. It's
pretty damn strong. It was just, you know, Cena wins all the time. In music, Bill, record of the year went to Rehab by Amy Winehouse. This is your Grammys. Song of the year, Amy Winehouse won that as well. Album of the year was the Joni Letters, the Herbie Hancock year when he won. Best new artist was Amy Winehouse. Other new artists that year, Bill, Taylor Swift, made of Herbert, Paramore, Feist.
Moon, my man.
Yeah, no, good. I'm glad you remember that. One, two, three, four, get your money on the floor. Best alternative album won both of some of our favorites. I believe it might have been a friend, Pachi, spilt palm juice in the back of your car. I believe, I think you had a newer
pomegranate car. Pomegranate juice.
Yes.
Pomegranate juice. Wait, it's like that. Might as well just fucking kill somebody back there.
And I believe you got that car in 2007.
Yeah. And it was like the day I got it or the day after I got it.
We were in Stop and Shop, I want to say in Stoneham, I believe. I could be wrong on that.
We're heading to the Dome.
And yes, we were. And we were listening to the album that won Best Alternative Album, Icky Thump by the White Stripes. Other ones, nothing actually. The Shins had it. Like, they should run away there. And then quickly, what are the top 11 songs of the year? You had Don't Matter by Akon. Top 10 was Glamorous by Fergie. Say It Right by Nelly Furtado. I Want to Love You by Akon and Snoop. Hey There, Delilah by the Plain White Tees. Before He Cheats by Carrie Underwood. Buy You a Drank. Shorty Snappin'. I never knew that was the subtitle to that song. Shorty Snappin' by Deep Painting, Young Jock. Big Girls Don't Cry by Fergie. The Sweet Escape, Gwen Stefani and Akon. Umbrella by Rihanna and Jay-Z. And Irreplaceable by Beyonce was the number one song in the Billboard Hot 100 of 2007. Takeaways from the year, Bill, what do you got?
It was, like I said, I didn't like this year really at all. And even the songs that I really did like are by artists like Nickelback, you know, and Maroon 5. Huh?
Yep. Nickelback did have a hell of a year.
It did. And like Maroon 5 is on this list. And, you know, people think of whatever of Maroon 5. And then this was probably Fergie's biggest year as a solo artist. And God, it's fucking terrible.
Like, so
all of those songs are fucking bad. Even the rap, there's like five good rap songs. And rap at this time was pretty big. Like Pop, Lock, and Drop. That song fucking sucks. Walk It Out is not good. Like all of the songs that got way up there. Mims, This Is Why I'm Hot is a pretty good beat, but it's not like a good rap song, like from a standpoint of like lyrics. So it is just a bone dry year.
It's tough. You mentioned Nickelback. Their three songs this year were Rockstar, Everyone, If Everyone Cared, and Far Away. You mentioned, I think that them, Justin Timberlake's all over this list too.
Yeah, and I'm not a huge Timberlake guy.
Was his third album, Love Stank.
Justified was what, 2003 probably?
Yeah, I want to say it was
2002 or late 2002, early 2003, because that came out and all the girls in college were in school, high school, senior year, were like bringing it to class. But like,
yeah, this is Future Love Sex, Future Sex Love Sounds. That's this album. So 2006 that was released, but obviously 2007, that's when a lot of the songs came out in late, it came out in September, the album. So yeah, Justified was 2002. So this is 4 years later, and obviously the fifth year is when all these songs were charting. But he had a good amount of hits on here. He had What Goes Around.
No, he had songs on the charts. He had one really good hit.
Good way to put it. But he had one, two, three, four. He had five songs on the top 100.
Yeah, I mean, it's impressive, but I only think one of them is like a good song.
Yeah.
Comes Around stinks. My Love isn't that good. And Summer Love, I don't even know what that song is off the top of my head.
Must be Summer Love.
Get the hell out of here.
Also, this was the year, you know, we mentioned American Idol still being popular. Kelly Clarkson had that Never Again. This was her like dark album that did nothing. This was like the death knell to Kelly Clarkson for a few years till she came roaring back. You just look here, like I'm just looking at the random artists. They have like tons of one songers in here, like What I've Done by Linkin Park. Not particularly one of my favorite Linkin Park songs. Also, the radio station I worked for at the time, we played the crap out of this song. Lifehouse with First Time. Like, you have these, like, Lloyd. I forgot Lloyd existed.
Yeah, I mean, Chop Boys. Like, there's just crap all over here. I mean, this was the year of, Crank That Soldier Boy.
You're right.
The top of the list is solid, though. Irreplaceable by Beyonce. It's not one of my probably top 10 Beyonce songs, but it's a good song.
It's the only song she has from this year, too, which is so interesting. Like, you would just think usually when you have like a number one hit, you'd have like 10 songs that are like.
Well, all of them were to the left of 2007.
To the left. More I think about it, I kind of like this song.
It's a good song. It's not even one of her top probably five slower songs either. So it's just not, it's just number one because it was Beyonce. And then Rihanna, number two, that's a great song. Sweet Escape is a very good song. And then you get into one of the worst songs of the year that was number four in Big Girls Don't Cry.
See, I liked Big Girls Don't Cry. Terrible. I like a song. I like Vulnerable song, Bill. Like my women vulnerable.
I like Fergalicious's beat better than most of the songs on here, but the way it starts is one of the most pretentious ways I've ever heard a song start. It's even worse than like Uno, Dos, Tres, Catorce. It starts like Cuatro, Three, Dos, One or something. Like they do the Spanish in and out of the numbers. Just do one or the other. It's awful. Or do like, some rant like 14 or something. It's just such a shitty song. And Will I Am is on it. It's just it's the Black Eyed Peas. Like, just call it Black Eyed Peas.
It's half the Black Eyed Peas right there. And the ones you know.
Yeah, the only ones you know.
And also, no, what about Apple?
Is he the one? Oh, yeah, Bob Your Head, Like Me, Apple D.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea, Bill, anything about them. And now all I know is Fergie's not in the band anymore. But another huge year for Akon. This is like huge year. So we had Don't Matter, number 11. Smack That was number 15 with Eminem. He had I Want to Love You at number 8, which was a huge – I feel like that's like his takeaway song. He was with Gwen Stefani on Great Sweet Escape, as you mentioned. He's with T-Pain and Bartender, also charting. And then
he was basically a Nate Dogg.
Yes.
The industry of that time. But he could also, unlike Nate Dogg, who had maybe two good singles, Akon had a bunch, but he was also just like, we need a background singer for the chorus.
Yep.
Let's get Convict Music in here and get Akon to do it over the phone if he needs. Like, they just put him on everything.
Yeah, no, you're right. He was a major part. We Fly High. I can't.
Like, that song is phenomenal. It's a bad rap song, but every time I used to go to Sissy K's that would come on and we would pretend instead of bowling, and it's just dumb, we would just do bowling. So it's good memory.
I like it. You also have like those random like one-off songs by a bunch of bands in here or artists. You have Like a Boy by Sierra. You had Bubbly, which was a massive, like a triple A as it was known. Like when I worked at the, it was WBOS, you know, where I, for when I used to do those like 3 o'clock in the morning shifts when you would call and like our friends would be, I'll never forget when our friend Pachi was in Vegas and he played this, this is a ridiculous story. So he was in Reno, right? Technically. Mm-hmm. Do you remember this? In 2000, this was technically 2006. And I used to do a shift from 3 a.m. to 8 a.m., which doesn't make any sense. I remember I used to beg when we used to hang out with you, like we used to all, you know, hang out in like Blake's basement or playing or be out. I used to beg. It's like either we have a super late night or like I go home at 10 and try to get 2 hours. Like, but I swear every week it would be like midnight. It's like, what do you do at this point? Anyways, so, and I didn't like the guy on before me. You know, there's something like you've done like enough shows that like if you like the people in your work that like, are, hey, let me head in the studio early. The guy was such a strange cat. Anywho, so our friend Pachi was in Reno and 3 hours behind. So it would be like, you know, midnight when I was starting. And he used to have this game. There were some random females that he was with and they were streaming on whatever device or whatever they were doing it. And he used to say, I bet you I can predict the next song on this radio station. They didn't know he knew me. So he did that for a while. And I used to think he was doing like, you know, we would have been, well, what's he, a year younger than us. So at that time, like 21, 22. Like I thought he was going to be like, it was like strip games or something silly. He wasn't doing anything like that. He probably should have. But
when he was in Reno, he was probably doing some stuff.
Oh God. No, he was just getting buried. Actually, I hear Reno is like not as silly or is it worse? Would you say than like, is it like a dangerous?
Prostitution area? Is legal there. So,
oh, well, isn't prostitution technically legal in Vegas?
No,
it's not. So just Reno. Now, dumb question, has nothing to do with this. Is there other areas of the country where prostitution is legal?
I don't believe so.
So is Reno like the Area 51 of prostitution?
Pretty much. I mean, if somebody's in the chat that can help us out, I think Reno is the only place that has like legalized prostitution.
That is so – wait, oh, so is that where all like the Bunny Ranch and all that stuff is?
I mean, why do you think Pachi went?
I don't know. No,
I don't want to besmirch his
father. Because his father loves Reno. Remember, we went to Vegas for his bachelor party. They took like a day trip to Reno.
Well,
again, who the hell knows?
The biggest little city in the world, I believe, is its motto.
Oh, yeah. That's shady enough. But anyways, back to some of these songs here. But yeah, Kobe Kelly Bubbly reminded me of that. You also had Snow Patrol, massive chasing cars.
Yeah, I remember this song.
Oh, I'm sure you do, Bill. We all remember this song.
No. It was at the end of one of my relationships. But, you know, like Lips of an Angel by Hinder, like, oh.
Just.
Robin Thicke on the list with Lost with You, Without You.
Like, this
Robin
is a Thicke. Smooth. That's a smooth-ass jam, though. That's a jam. Take a listen to that after this. Just a great one before he became an all-out creep. Yeah, All-American Rejects on here, but with It Ends Tonight, which I'm like,
yeah.
That was number 55 on the Billboard Hot 100. That
I think Night Drive was on that album too, and just probably was never released.
I think it's before. No, I think it's before. I think it is.
It's this was on that one.
This is the Move Along Gives You Hell. I mean, sorry, Move Along era. Then Gives You Hell. I think Night Drive was on the Gives You Hell album.
Either way, I mean, they had some bangers coming up and around this, but
yes,
this was not. I mean, when I heard this one, I was like,
you might be right.
What? I could not believe that was on this one. So, yeah, just, you know, more Nickelback, Neo, like Bone Thugs and Harmony with Akon. Oh, but I will say
right.
I might nominate it for one. What was that?
You were right. Night Drive is on the All-American Rejects Move Along album.
Yeah, I just remember – I love that song. I'll put it on all the time. I just remember –
Never gonna catch me. Yeah, it's good. I'm going to put that on my liked playlist right now.
It's good stuff. And then – you know, I was just at the tail end because they sucked after this, but of the My Chemical Romance phase. And I wouldn't have believed Black Parade cracked this.
So I'm going to tell you another sidebar about My Chemical Romance. So there's when is that show?
I think it's September.
Oh, we got plenty of time. I'm working on Boston Calling right now. Weezer playing the Sunday. I think I got to see the Strokes. I've decided I've been a fan enough of the Strokes for years, but I've never cared.
Double guitar.
Yeah. Like, but I've never like been like, oh, I gotta go see them really badly. And they're playing Boston Calling. I gotta find it, figure it out. Anyways, they're on my list. I told you, was it last time we talked how I have a list of bands I want to see?
No.
So I'm making lists as much as I can now, because I feel like whatever we want to call this time period we're living in, where you can do things, like I need to make sure I do things. So I'm making lists to do certain things, whether it's travel or whatever, just do my best. Not everything's going to get done. But when you bring up, My Chemical Romance, it reminds, like, there's a lot of ties to the timing we are in this world and date wise with some, you know, emotional things, but it was my birthday I think it was like 05. And you got me the My Chemical Romance the first album I think they had. I don't even remember their albums. And I remember, like, I didn't care much because we all went to the 99. I remember I didn't care much for them. Like, I remember, like, I'm not okay. And then you got me that album. And that freaking out, I think I, like, broke it as many times I spun that thing.
It's great. It's a phenomenal album. And it's weird because I used to read books to it in college constantly because for some reason I just knew it so much. It didn't, like,
this is like background.
Yeah, it was just good background. That album rips. Their first album rips. And then this one's kind of okay.
I never really. Yeah, Three Cheers for the Sweet, whatever, 2004. Romance, thank you. Revenge.
Revenge, sorry.
And then, but then they came back. They had an album in 2000. Oh, Danger Days. I liked that in 2010. That was super poppy. And that was their last technical album. But now they're coming back and we'll see what. If they're going to put together some new music, but yeah, they realistically, that's crazy. They basically only had three real studio albums, but anyways, yeah. But I remember that birthday gift. I just remember, I was like, oh, sweet. Cause you're good at that's why I miss like the days where you could buy people CDs or DVDs. Cause that's such a great, like, I think of you gift.
And like, you kind of have to listen to it. I can tell people till they're blue in the face, like, go watch John Wilson How To, but if I could buy the DVD and give it to certain people, I would.
I guarantee all the things that you've said, hey, watch this, or why didn't you do this, or we should do that, or I guarantee if you bought it for me, and like and it was that type of like mentality of sit down and plug something in, without a doubt I would have done it. Like we did our Tommy Boy review whenever we did, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago now, I can't remember. I pulled out my DVD to watch it actually is. It's refreshing, you know, and you obviously can still hit pause, but it's a whole different experience. Kids these days will never know, Bill. Now they're buying each other. I don't know. Like, what do you buy people? Pop figures? Like, I don't even know what, like, the I thought of you just cheapy-ish gift
V-bucks.
Is.
V-Bucks.
No, that doesn't count. You don't V-Bucks. I guess it is, but it's just that's so, like, I'll just give you $20. Yeah, like, it's like an uncle who forgot about you. That's why I feel like all gifts are these days. Like, oh, yeah, here you go, kid. What is $20? Happy birthday. Like, okay.
There's like a nice crypt $20 bill.
Oh, please. My son gets it. That's the other thing. My son's 2 years and like a half, and every random thing, like, people just give him cash. I'm like, what are you giving this kid cash for?
Does he even know what it is yet?
Of course not. He opens it up. He just likes the card. And then he colors on it with his markers. And like, all you have to get my kid, or most kids, is something they can play, like color. You don't have to get them toys, just like a color or like Play-Doh, something like activity-based fun. Like, that's what you get kids. Or like a squishy ball. Like all these.
Well, I assume they think you're taking the money.
Yeah, but that makes me feel weird. Well, I don't, my son doesn't have to be a gateway to things. But anyways.
I have diapers.
We do have a bank account for him, if you were wondering. And we do take donations. You can find my Venmo at Jason-Rossi-12.
Hey, Jamie just bought a video game to play with us last night from Venmo donations.
Wait, did people really Venmo him? Was that real?
Yeah.
That's pathetic.
I think it's fine. They've never asked for anything.
I'll give them the money. Wait, I thought that was a joke. People actually sent him money to play.
It's a buck.
They only gave him a buck?
Yeah, $1 a piece.
40 people gave him $1 to get a game that A, he already owned, and he's a grown adult that he could buy his own game.
60 people.
$60. You can't find it.
Gave him $1. I thought it was funny.
Well, yeah, but you giving him $1 to me is more funny.
Why?
I don't know. I just find that strange. He's a grown adult with a job. He's got his stuff together.
Hey, he's got two kids.
That's true. Maybe. Well, you know what? We'll turn the script. He gave it to the kids. People are donating for his kids.
There you go.
Because I think the kids play. I know his wife plays.
Yeah.
Good for them. Gonna get back on the tracks. So I have to.
And honestly, the thing we played Mario Kart last night, the thing that I really liked is that Davey had his kids play young, and then Keith asked, like, how young did you let them play? Like, if I ever have a kid, I'm gonna let them play video games young because I did too. Like, I mean, not that I'm the shining example of what you want to be as an adult, but I'm not that bad.
No, you, Bill, stop. Don't do that. You have a great job. You do well for yourself. Listen, we're all mental cases, but about that, you know, it's funny. My son, I give him my Switch all the time because it's better than giving him my iPhone because I don't let him play games. He watches like YouTube Kids, but like he'll play with the Switch. He has no idea what he's doing. Mm-hmm. So I just put Mario 3 worlds, we move around, and he loves it. And he always tells me Mario's sleeping because if you don't touch him long enough, Mario sleeps. No, I think that's great. Maybe, you know, and you know what? Maybe Davey's kids can play for me next time because I absolutely suck and or blow at Mario Kart. I know. I'm trying to think of a game that we need to like introduce into that I could maybe do okay in.
I'm okay at the golf. We played golf. I didn't come in last.
I never got golf. I could get it and probably still come in last. I'm trying to think of something that I wonder that I might be decent in, but I don't play enough multiplayer stuff. Maybe WWE 2K. Yeah, if they ever go to that, I have no idea. I've never played anybody. I just play the story mode, which is awesome. But anywho, all right. I think at this point we've covered enough. Oh, you know another one that I laughed at? Here in Your Arms by Hello Goodbye. There's another just random band.
I don't even think I know that one off the top of my head.
That's another of those poppy. You would know it. Pretty Ricky also on this. I don't think we mentioned them yet. On the Hotline. I don't know that song. I know Pretty Ricky.
I knew that one, and I knew like Baby Bash had one because that was still at the point where like I was making CDs for people.
Hell yeah.
This was still in that era.
Cyclone. Like, that was a big song.
Yeah.
This is a perfect way to look at it from at least our age group, like later 30s now, is this is like going out to like bars and like quote unquote clubs. Like what was that? Tequila Rains of the world. Like this is a lot of the music we would listen to there when I would have like
Sissy K's or Hong Kong, all those places.
Yeah, and seriously, like Cyclone reminds me of like being out at night with like you and like the crew of guys, like the few times we would do that. Most of the time when I was thinking about, I think I was talking to somebody and I was like, people like, how big were your crew when you like went into Boston? I was like, only on birthdays was it big. Yeah. Other than that, when we ever did go, it was usually just like a handful of us at most.
It was, and then when I would go with Babo, it's just me, Babo, and Jareem.
And like the times, like our run of like 4 months before other people turned, before like Big Joe was like, we would go over to the Bill's Bar and watch bands, which I wonder if that's even a thing anymore. I feel like everything's just cover bands. Yeah. Like actually, like what, speaking about Davey, his wife put on Twitter, like do kids hang out at malls anymore?
Oh yeah, they still do.
They do. So what is that? You like your nieces, that's where like she goes?
Yeah, I mean, that's what, you know, you do go there to still be social, but it's not.
Right. No, that's good to hear. I just don't even know, like, mall, because there aren't, like, especially where we live, like, there's, like, 2 to 3 malls, like, you can go to, and, like, dinner, shops, hangs, chilling in the corner, trying to, you know, score a little, you know, I get it. I loved going to the mall when I was a kid. It was literally one of my favorite things. Drop me off at the mall at 6, see you at 10, Dad. Deuces. Give me some money.
Come on, everybody. Let's go to the mall.
Fantastic. All right, Bill, let's get into this. So we have 5 categories we are going to be nominating for to get into the 2007 version of the jukebox. We had a 2002 earlier this year. We'll probably cover all the eras of this. We'll probably do a 2012, maybe a 2017, but we'll talk about that later. Maybe a 92. Who the hell knows? But categories will be hip-hop-rap, alt-rock, pop. We have a miscellaneous, just if you want to add another one. We could have, I still think that one's good. And then one you never want to hear again. We can go in the order that we have it set up here. What do you want to nominate for pop?
Pop. I'm going to go with, and I think this is considered pop, right? I'm going to go with Buy You a Drink by T-Pain. Because this is probably my favorite song of the year. And oddly enough, it is on my most recently played on repeat on Spotify. Because the song still is fucking great.
Oh, yeah. This, like not a song I purposely, particularly, should I say, like, but without a doubt, if this one of the, like, just defining songs of this time frame and definitely this year when it comes to, like, the pop. You could go hip-hop rap with this one as well. Yeah. For me, the first one I'm going to pop in here, I just think it's the jam of jams of this year. I think it's the song that everybody, when you hear this, the only song we really didn't talk about, we talked about the artist enough, but Sexy Back by Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, this is the one. This was the one that I had on my list. This is an ultimate song of that time.
Yeah, I think this is like, I'm trying to think if there's another. It's number 63. Don't forget, this had staying power. This came out much earlier in 2006, but again, did stay on the top charts for a full year and plus. This is like, right, this is just the jam of jams. This is like I think this is like the song of this time frame. Like, everybody remembers this one. It's just, it's got to be on here. We'll see. I think it's going to take the win regardless of what else we nominate, but we'll be your second nomination for the pop category.
And it'll probably get on twice because it was higher up in the other year, but it's the Timbaland beat, right? It's the Timbaland beat. It's his, it's a song that's not just made to be one of the greatest pop songs of all time. Like what's the one? Mm-hmm. Dance, dance, dance. Like that song fucking blows. Like this was, all right, let's just make a cool ass song and see if it takes off. And it did.
Yeah. Just real quick. When you talk about his beat, he also, we didn't talk about this song. Maybe we'll get to it, maybe on here, but you just have to mention Timbaland was with One Republic, Apologize this year as well. So that was all his beat. Like the song's fine, but his beat makes it special. Mm-hmm. Anyways, next nominee.
I think that was way higher in 2008 too, probably.
Yeah, either that or six as well. I can't ever remember. That's these 3 years are kind of like blending.
All right, so this is a tough one. And I don't know if I put it here, if you won't. So I'll go. No, you will. Ah, fuck it. How to Save a Life by The Fray. The ultimate TV, like, song to montage to in a sad time. I mean, they did it on Scrubs eloquently. And I think, like, 2 weeks later, they did it on Grey's Anatomy. So, but either way, this is a great all-time song.
This is an excellent song. Like, we can make fun of it because it was probably like this most popular songs that are in this like time frame with like bands like this that don't have like an edge. Like, I can completely understand people not loving it, but this is a massive hit. This is a cross bending. Like, when it came to radio play, you would hear this on like your top 40s, your adult contemporaries, your alternatives. You heard this across the board everywhere but like hip hop stations. Like,
it had a nice like up and down to it. Like, it was a very well-paced song at times. Like, it was a beautifully written song, great lyrics that everyone in the world can relate to. So it's just one of those songs that you'll see in movies for the next probably 20, 30 years.
Yeah. And also it was a promo package for Lost. I remember in their whatever season, which threw me off, just didn't feel right. But
oh, they had some great, things that, made me want to be an editor, like the Doctor. I got a bad case of loving you with friggin' Jack Shepherd. That's one of the all-time TV montage commercials.
Fantastic. That was a Super Bowl. All right, last one for me. I will add in, I think, another one of those just massive pop hits of the year, Before He Cheats by Carrie Underwood. Okay. I said it once, I'll say it a million times. I want to sing backup to this song because it has the greatest backup falsettos in music history. Just go ahead and listen to it after Carrie Underwood sings. Whoever these deliciously fantastic human beings are, be in the background sing Both Headlights. It's amazing. Just amazing. And the words are just so stupid. It's fantastic. So Carrie Underwood, Before He Cheats, Justin Timberlake, Sexy Back, How to Save a Life by The Fray, and Buy You a Drank from T-Pain in the pop category. Bill, why don't you kick us off with the alternative dash rock category? Who are you going to nominate?
So I'll go with another one of my favorites from the year, and probably not an all-time favorite, but definitely an all-time favorite from this band. I'm going to go with Snow, Hey-O, Red Hot Chili Peppers. And I think you're going to tell the same story I am, so I'll just start it. We had a friend come home from a long drive after listening to this album, and he's like, I have the greatest song in the world for you. And he played it, and I wasn't disappointed.
So this is Stadium Arcadium, double album. We talked about in our top 11 Foo Fighters how, when later in, like, once you're past, like, the 90s, double albums are a little tough. All of a sudden, but no, I'm trying to remember now, what was the main single off of this album? Oh, yeah. Whatever. It had a massive hit. And I'm not even going to Google it.
Californication.
No, that's earlier.
But that's the song, right?
No, it's not Californication. Californication was 1999. That was the name of the album. This was State. Oh, now you're making me do it. Arcadium. What was the name of that stupid? Well, not stupid. It was a mass fit. Dana California. Was that it? Must have been. Yeah. Dana California. They'd hump the bump with the stupid song. But anyways, our friend. So Dana California was like huge. Like number one alt song. Everybody knew that one. He listened to it. Snow wasn't even a single yet, technically. And he was telling us all about it. Oh, my God, it's the best song. And he played it. And then next, this song became ginormous. And he was dead right. I'll give him credit on two things this kid has done. He liked The Miz way before anybody else should. And he really shouldn't have.
No, there's no reason. That is not a good thing. Like, that's like liking a dictator. Like, he was no one liked him. No one should have liked him. And you shouldn't have been, like, patting yourself on the back by liking him. He's one of those guys that, like, he changed your mind. Yeah. Like, he would have been booed out of the building, X-Pac heat for life, if he didn't change who he was completely.
Yeah, you're right. Anyways, but yeah, so Snow, though, then became Mass Fit. And then that was also a WrestleMania theme. Mm-hmm. That was used in multiple commercials and everything. And to this day, I've heard it in, like, jingles on commercial ads because it's a little cheaper to use. It's
hypnotizing.
It is. It's a great tune. You got a lot. Like, it's one of those songs I could either see it being in this category or I never want to hear it again category just because of the sheer. I'm just saying, not a bad song, just the sheer.
Like a fastball all the way.
How dare you? And I would love to know that song every day. For me, this one was my hardest category. I'll be honest, because I love so many songs. Mm. But the number one song I had, and I saw it was on yours as well, so I'll snag it while we can. The funkiest guitar beat there has ever been is the background to this song. I want this. I want the Pro Tools session of this song. The lyrics are maybe the. I think, you know, go back in time when me and Frank, who Frank's SI is named after, we had a HD2 radio show and also a like a podcast, but way back, like in like 2005, and obviously it was 2007. This was anyway. So the point of this was that I did one that was worst lyrics of all time. Mm-hmm. This was on there. This song's lyrics could be. It doesn't tell a good story. It's horrendous. It's all over the place. But the funky beat. It's Paralyzer by Finger 11.
That song's great.
It's fucking awesome. Amazing. It is. It is. But if you actually lyrical content wise, it's so dumb. So dumb.
Yeah, but it's just great music. It sounds like if Disturbed became a pop band. That's what this sounds like to me.
That's a great way to put it.
Sounds a little bit like it, and it's like hard. It's not like hard, but it's metaled pop. So like it's a banger of a song. I will never get mad at hearing this song.
No,
and this is one of those bands though that you're like, fuck this, fuck these guys.
They have like 10 songs, not hits. Like there's like three you would know. But they have like 10 songs that if you listen to consecutively, you would think it's a different band every time because they go from this, like their big hit, like One Thing, there's nothing. And then they have a song like this is like funky kind of fusion. And then they have like hard songs. And then they have literally like Beyond Piano Ballads. It's so bizarre. They're very bizarre. Canadian, Finger 11.
All right. Then me. Let's see here. I got a decision to make. You know what? I do love myself. When I was a young boy, my father. But I'm gonna go with rock star Nickelback.
Dude, whoa! You just turned the car around.
I do like that one, but I'm gonna go rock star Nickelback because you know it's just one. There's another rock star song out there by some shitty band, and I think Post Malone was with them, but this song is the best song that's ever been called Rockstar, and the lyrics are great. They're hilarious, and
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. This is a great car song.
It's a great jam in general. I think, you know, again, another song I could see people being like could go into a couple categories here, but I love this song. I thought this was like such a good, like Nickelback was right on the verge before they hit that next level of like people just completely despising them and saying all their songs sound the same and putting out those videos. But like this song is fun. It seems like they actually were like laughing at themselves as well as laughing at the industry. A little bit of like Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous of Good Charlotte in their own way.
And I like the what you want. The background vocals of this. So I would tour with them and do that.
Yeah, and like I'll take a quesadilla. He laughs. It's great. It's almost up there with the and Werewolves of London.
Oh, no, he goes tick.
Yeah, whatever it is, or the tick, if you will. But that's a great pick. For me, the other one, this is a great year for this band. I don't know many years we're going to get a lot of songs out of them. So I'm going to go with Fall Out Boy. You kind of have two good ones to pick from, in my opinion, but I'm going to go with Thanks for the Memories. But just because the title of the song, they don't put any vowels in it. So it's it's not even words. It's like tick for merms. Tickin' for merms. Like hilarious. Sure it is. They were stupid. Weird band. But this is like a fun era for them. So I will put that on there.
I do really like them before this, like the Dance Dance and Sugar Sugar. Just because I was a dumb college kid. But it wasn't like early college. I was kind of, you know, I liked that Fall Out Boy album.
Oh, yeah. I think these are like these first couple albums from them. I've never actually disliked Fall Out Boy. I just know that they're kind of like purposely gimmicky in some ways.
They went from being like the teenage song in a movie to the montage song for ESPN, almost like Skillet level of just like,
oh my God, when they did that in 2000 and whatever that was, like 12, holy cow. Yeah, it was just stadium rock. They turned into stadium rock.
It was like, what are we doing?
Yeah, wild. All right, so that will be for alternative rock. Hip-hop rap, Bill, who are you going to pick here?
Okay, this one, I got to go Kanye West Stronger because it's probably one of the better songs from the entire year. And yeah, I love Kanye. It's a good one. It's probably, again, I don't even think I had it in my top 21 that me and Wes did. And I don't think he did either. So it might not even be like a top 35, 40 Kanye song, but it's a very good song.
It's like when we did the Nirvana thing last time. It was like, that's a top 25 Nirvana. Now, real quick, is this with or without Daft Punk?
No, this is not the the Daft Punk Around the World. This is the... Work it, make it, do. Oh, yeah, that is Daft Punk. That is Daft Punk, right?
But I'm saying, this song technically is not the Daft Punk version, right?
No, he definitely samples that.
But, okay, so that they just don't give, this saying just Kanye West is just not giving the credit to Daft Punk, but they're clearly part of the song.
Oh, it's like when he does any of the,
yeah, but
you don't have to give them credit.
I always thought, but I think it was on like the official, I thought the official one had like Kanye West, Daft Punk. What the hell do I know? Doesn't matter. Either way, you're putting the song on there. So I'll jump in with one of mine for hip hop. I had a little bit of trouble. This song just like stood out to me. It's definitely not. It might get the lowest vote of any poll put ever. And I put some crazy things on some polls in the past. I'm still mad that Sixpence on the Richer Kiss Me, which I still think is one of the best. I think that was 99. Anyways, I will go with Icebox by Omarion. Because this song. Oh, how dare you?
Fuck.
This song's great. This is a great tune. Got an icebox where my heart used to be. I love that this just turns into us singing. That's a jam. That's a good quality hip-hop song for the time period. I just think it's a tough year in general for hip-hop. So I don't have a lot to pull from. I wasn't going to go with some of the, gimmicky ones. So I'm going to go with Icebox by Omarion, formerly of B2K.
That is a terrible. That is the worst nomination we've ever had.
I completely disagree. I think I've done worse, and I think I can still have time, Bill. We still have another two categories.
That is terrible.
Thank you.
There's at least two obvious ones, but I'll go with Smack That Ass by Akon and Eminem. Just a great beat, a lot of good lyrics. I think they even have another remix with even more people in it, which is pretty good too. So, just an all-time, not an all-time. That's probably something I should dial back on a little bit, but all time this fucking year.
Let it fly, Bill. I'll take your Akon and I'll raise you an Akon. I put I Want to Love You in here. This could also be a pop song, but I think that this was the year of Akon for like this genre, like the hip hop genre. So two Akon songs will make it on there, and Omarion and Kanye.
Wow, that's terrible.
That's like that's like the final four in a great NCAA tournament, a great Royal Rumble, Bill. You got to have that wild card guy in there. Like, how is he still in there?
Hip hop and rap is the fucking NIT.
It might be the beyond below, like Division 3 NIT. All right, Bill, how about songs you never want to hear again? A new category here from us.
I really wish I went first because I would have put fucking Omarion in this.
No, you don't even. That song doesn't even impact it. People probably don't even know what that song is.
I didn't listen to it to even remember it. I think I heard it like five times in my life.
And you're going to listen to it 10 times later and you're going to go, wow, what a tune. I'm going to vote for it.
So, I mean, I'll just give you two Fergie ones. I'll give you the whole list here, but I'll nominate Glamorous. Fucking terrible song. And I already said Big Girls Don't Cry is terrible, too.
Basically all of these. Here's the one I think that just, like, to me was – there's two songs that jumped off the page to me. From, like, Lips of an Angel by Hinder. Literally. Shoot it to the sun. Some country guy covered it like 2 years later. Jack something. God, I used to really like country back in the day. It was so much better. But this song blows. Lips of an Angel by Hinder literally makes my skin crawl. It is brutal. It's a hard listen. You'll never hear it again. So might as well shoot that thing, rocket it to the sun.
Bye. And this beat out a John Mayer song too on the chart, I think too.
Was it higher than Waiting on the World to Change?
I think it was. I think it was like 46 and that was 47. So, I mean,
Hinder had another song on here. Hinder was 46, you're right, and 47. Wow. Yeah.
I remember looking at it. It was like an Oreo shit sandwich with like John Mayer in between. I think.
Below. Oh, don't worry, Bill. You know what else? Number 45, Icebox by Omarion featuring Timberland. Woo-woo! So you're going to put both Fergie on here? No, you're going to put the other one.
I'm going to put Summer Love by Justin Timberlake. When you said that, that sounds fucking terrible.
I thought you were going to go with Sean Kingston. Now do I feel like I have to?
Oh, good, because I want to get two of mine on.
Hold on. So here's what I'm debating. I have, for me, Beautiful Girls is one of the most nagging songs that, like, you'll feel in the back. And I just hate because he says, you make me suicide. I don't like that. It's always bothered me. I've been in plenty of, like, relationships or had crushes on people that, A, didn't know I existed, or B, treated me like crap or didn't care about me. And we've all been there. Or, like, whatever. But I've never – suicide, like, this. It's just – I hate it. Oh, sorry. It gets me really worked up.
The way he says it, too, is super
annoying. It's so bad. And he's such a little whiny bastard about it. And just, he's like 22 years old singing about suicide. And like, and he's trying to make it cute. Don't like that. So it might get in there. The only other one I had was Pink, You and Your Hand. Because equally.
I like that one.
I like that one.
At least from like a pop song standpoint, it's at least
fine. Yeah. Construction of Music's fine. But that song aggravates me. Pink and her arrogant sound in this song. Oh God. It's just like that total. And I can't even actually describe the way, like in 2007, I could say something. I say it in 2022, I'm canceled. So I got to be careful, but it's just like that, like self-righteous, like I look the way I look for me, not for you crap. But it's like, but the way she sings and what she does, I don't know. And I also hate the like breathe like that.
Oh, I love it. She's like 19 song.
Yeah. She's like Run DMC or something from like the,
it's like an 80s, like
Tone Loc. Yeah. Tone Loc. Like get out of here. But you know what?
Listen to it right now.
Oh, that song absolutely bites it. It sucks. Blows.
It's got a good guitar riff to it too.
Yeah, the song is not bad. Like the lyrics are the problem in the context. I'm not here for your entertainment. Oh, get out of here. All right, but anyways.
One last thing on Pink. Have you ever seen Better Call Saul?
Yeah.
She reminds me of the blonde woman a little bit.
I can see it.
Yeah.
I can see it. And also Pink is one of the most interesting, like, she's been around since about 99. She's going on 20-plus years, like, of fame. And she's had such ups and downs and looks and different things. So I give her a lot of credit overall.
And pink is the color of love.
And pink is my favorite color. I'm going to go with Sean Kingston, though, because since you didn't put it there. Because that really sucks.
Sean Apple
close. And Sean Kingston, how dare you? Just, that's all I'll say is how dare you. All right, we'll wrap it up. Miscellaneous category, Bill. What are you putting in there?
Oh, this is tough. I can put one of my ones from the above. I think I'm gonna stick with the heart of this category and go with Avril Lavigne, Girlfriend.
Yes, I had it on my
list. Great song.
It literally was like I didn't talk about it the whole time, and I could go. This was a big running song for me, so I like started getting to like gyms in like 2006, 2007. And I'll tell you right now, Bill, this is a banger.
Oh yeah,
this song is amazing.
A beats per minute must be like.
Oh, God. It's a great, like, if you just need, like, a 3-minute, like, wrap up, or I used to do one song walk, one song run. Mm-hmm. So I had to purposely set my iPod back in the day on my computer by plugging it in. And this song, and Ashley Simpson also, right around this time, had, what was her song there?
Pre-nose surgery, which I liked.
But what was the song? She had another one. She had, like, a, like, kind of same style. So, oh, why can't I think of it all of a sudden? But Girlfriend by Avril Lavigne just smacks right off the bat.
You said.
Lala, oh my God, you make me wanna la. Oh,
that's a good song.
On the kitchen, on the floor. Oh man, I could go. Like I'm telling you, women make the best music, even though I just crapped on Pink.
She also had a song called "Boyfriend," which is pretty good too.
And that's another. No, that's I think the actual. No, either one. Both of them are. Yes, "Boyfriend"'s another like just kick-ass like pop punky sound. God, I miss this era a little bit. All of a sudden, we crapped on this era. We're ending.
Well, it wasn't the songs that were in this year, though.
Also, yeah, and we're also talking about some crap overall still. We just liked it. But Avril Lavigne, Girlfriend, great call by you. I will – oh, this is having trouble. There's bangers by Daughtry in this. Take that with a grain of salt, Will. I got to put Home in here by Daughtry because this was a massive song. And it is like – it was famous for American Idol, which was the number one rated show on TV. It was a song when people got kicked off. He was a former contestant, so I'll put Daughtry Home as one of my miscellaneous.
Wow, that's not even one of the top four songs that comes up when you Google Home.
Well, Home, there's so many you could put in there.
But like, you know, for it to be on the top 100, not to even be in the top four.
Yeah, it was number 25 for the year.
Oh, I will go with Maroon 5 Makes Me Wonder because it's just a cool little pop song.
Hated this one. I just love Songs for Jane, and then as soon this is their follow up to Songs from Jane, and I just never liked Maroon 5, even though I did like Won't Go Home Without You on a later album. But no, you're right. It is. It's a fun and it's funky. It's funk fusion, Bill.
Yeah, that's what I'm all about.
I know you are. All right, so I already put Before You Cheat. I'm just looking at your other. Yeah, I guess we just have to. I think we just have to put Amy Winehouse Rehab in here because genius artist taken way before like died not too long after this and. Was
2012
or 13? No, was it even that late?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought she was.
I'd say maybe 2012 at the earliest.
Let's see. She died in 2011.
Okay. All right. So 2011, the earliest.
Wow. And this was 2007. So she, interesting. But anyways, yeah, we'll put a Rehab by Amy Winehouse. It won all the awards. It needs some recognition from us. We'd be fools not to do it. So wrapping up our five categories, we'll put the polls out on the Twitter. I'll actually do it. And you can vote there. Bill, any final thoughts on 2007? We kind of worked our way back to saying this year blows, but it's okay.
I mean, the good songs that we were going to talk about, obviously, we were going to like. We start with the crap and then we go to the good. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, I mean, I looked at the year before this. I looked at the year after this. There's just more better than this.
Nope. Oh, Bill, so much going on. I have to say, after struggling, because I've had a real tough time staying up past the time we're talking right now, I got through Severance.
You did? So we're going to do an episode on it.
Maybe we'll do like a short. We could do like a whole little short on it. So here's the two things I'll tell you. One, I don't like how much people talked about it on Twitter about the ending because I was disappointed by the ending. Was it good?
Now you know something is like.
I'm waiting for something. Yeah. I was expecting something though. So, you know, this show, and I hate to do it, but any show like this, I always compare it to like Lost because like little things here that meet things here. Mm-hmm. By the way, the gentleman, the black gentleman's dance moves in that scene.
That would be, if this was more popular, one of the greatest gifts of all time when he's dancing behind what's
just
name?
This or just this one when he like comes across. No, it should. I think it will.
Milchick.
And
I think Davey brought it up, and I think his wife brought it up first. For a dude, he's got a rump.
He's got everything. The man's stacked. He's got the perfect mustache, great build, muscular AF,
yep.
Lean though, very lean, big old trunk going on in the back. You know we got out of things, but I'm just saying this guy probably has bad toenails or something.
He's like Carl Weathers in like the early 80s.
He really is.
Just like slightly smaller and like a little lighter.
But everyone was like, oh, because you know what I've noticed? And I don't mean this to sound in any way derogatory to people. Like Lost, I think, and I'm always, we're going to go here. Lost, I think, had like legitimately three season ending moments that made you like say that's like if there was Twitter, like, holy cow, what's going to happen? So when I saw so many people saying, did you, the end of Severance, I was expecting like legit explosions or like insanity.
It was kind of like the light going on in the hatch. That's what it was.
Yeah, but you were expecting, I hated that was the end, but I also made me want more. Like, the show did a really good job.
It was the weirdest blue balls I've ever gotten from a TV show, because, like, it just kept going and going and going, building, and then you get, like, kind of a few cliffhangers at once. So, like, things are happening all at once, where usually in most things, it kind of just... All right. Boom. Except like all of those things lead up to one where all three things happen somewhere different. So
four.
Four.
But we get to, I think we should. We could do like a little small, like, you know, 20 minute even thing on it or whatever. Cause I think I'm going to kind of go back and piece together now that I've watched some of the YouTube.
I'm rewatching it right now.
It's good. And that's the thing. Like, I like the show because I could see people saying it's slow or it's boring or whatever if they want, if that's what they believe. But the thing I like about it is it's not overcomplicated. It's complicated in like the story base, but it's realistically like if you watch an episode, there's like four people that you have to be concerned about most of the time, which is like the opposite of like a Game of Thrones where there was like 26 people that you're concerned about in a
48. You know, somebody, this is very intimate, and Mac made the point, and I think it's true. Every character is either interesting and likable or a good bad guy.
Yes.
And some of them are both. Like Milchick is a good bad guy, but like the what's her name? Patricia Arquette.
Yeah,
she's crazy, and you don't like her, but you're not.
But then you do. Like, you're also like, and then, but then there's moments you're like, oh, wait. There's
she leaves the baby, you're like, oh.
Yeah, that was a little dark. That was a little bit much. But yeah, definitely, if you haven't watched it, we didn't give away anything here. It's a really good ride. It's a great 9 episodes. Really enjoyable. And it was released week by week. So you can, you know, binge it now and enjoy it. That's what I ended up doing. Bill, what about you? Anything else you've been watching, catching, seeing, scrapping, listening to?
So I rewatched the 5th season of Better Call Saul, which is awesome. And then I watched the 1st episode. I don't know if I'll have time to watch the 2nd one right now, but the 2nd one's out. It's shaping up to be pretty good. I don't know if it'll be as good as Breaking Bad. And then on the Apple Podcast, I'm assuming Spotify too, How Did This Get Made? Re-released. Well, no, they haven't stopped. But they re-released their Miami Connection episode, which is probably their 2nd best episode. I've already listened to it twice, and I think it came out. I found it yesterday. It's just one of the funniest things. You don't even need to see the movie. They play a ton of clips. Like, there's a band in that movie, Dragon Sound, which I'll send you the songs. They're fucking unbelievable. And like, they're a band of ninjas. Like not a group of ninjas. Like, they're a musical instrument group of ninjas. Like, they make music and then they fight ninjas, other ninjas. So it's like one of the funnest listens there is.
Okay. Ninjas versus ninjas. It's called Dragon. What?
The band's called Dragon Sound. The movie's called Miami Connection. The podcast that you can listen to it on is How Did This Get Made? Just search them. And it's like one of their last.
That was like a Russian doll you just did. It's just, the band is this in the movie of this on a podcast about this. Another thing, obviously, you've heard all the news about Netflix bleeding and dying, slow death, turning into cable. And you know, a couple of victims came out recently. And I didn't love watching the show, but I was intrigued to see what happened next. It's called Archive 81. I don't know if you've heard about it.
I've seen it a lot.
Like, Kalego is a big part of that show. Kalego. Me and my wife.
Vision?
No, it's just called Kalego. I can't even really explain it. I can because now the show's canceled, so no one's gonna watch it. It's like this weird statue, historical, like 13th century monster, but that like sucks you in and out of time or something. It's a very strange show. Had all the makings of being awesome. It was good, and it ended on a cliffhanger that made me. That was a cliffhanger that made me go, "Holy cow!" Basically, someone was transported in time. It was very intriguing. I'm like, okay. And then it was one of the like 10 shows recently canceled by Netflix. So if you're one of the few that has enjoyed the 9 million unique or Netflix original shows, I'm sure they're all canceled by now.
For the most part. I mean, Stranger Things is having a season 4. And lastly, for me.
Yeah.
As some of you may know, one of the many geeky things about me is I'm in a bocce league and you can't.
Okay. Time out. I don't think that's geeky. I'd say that's like, I think it's
sad. Sad.
No.
Pathetic. whatever you want to call it. So we have a man of the match. We all vote on it afterwards.
Say what it is. You didn't even say what it was. Bocce. It's bocce.
Oh, bocce. Bocce. I'm in a bocce league.
You have a great way, Bill. There's something about you. You are like one of the best. I don't know what, like, you tease something so well, but you never say what it is. Ooh. It's a very interesting thing about you. I picked up on it. Like, you'll do like, this is one of the greatest and maybe the best thing, blah, 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 blah. And then you move on to start describing it, but you never, like, you lead all the way in. And it's like, you're like Mario, jump over
the thing. Bury the lead. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's okay. It doesn't matter. You're excellent at everything you do. But that was hilarious. Sad. That was an all timer.
Jesus.
It's unbelievable.
Bocce.
Yes.
So we have a man of the match. And we all voted on after. And the best player last year got like one of those $10, $12 WWE belts. That's like, you know, cloth basically with some metal taped on it.
Like the one you could get at like Target.
Yeah, yeah. Then we, not even like the good one that was like, you know, rubber when we had it when we were little, or foam. So we won last year, the championship. So you get money to win from winnings. And we always said we were going to make a real belt, the man of the match. So we have the old Winged Eagle belt. It is heavy, it is beautiful, and there is nothing better than slinging it over your shoulder as a grown man after just beating a bunch of 65-year-old dads from your old high school. It was just hilarious, and like, I'm going to buy one. Like, it's the coolest thing to fucking have.
Could you put it around your waist?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to tell you a quick aside. So our friends Kim and Barrett got married, I don't know, 3 years ago now. Plus, it doesn't matter. They have like two kids. It doesn't matter. But I performed their wedding. And they reached out to my wife, and they were going to get me a championship belt. And my wife's and because for the wedding party, they did this thing where they all had like fat heads or whatever. Like, yeah. And she was like, instead of doing that, because he's like, I wasn't like, you know, when you perform a wedding, like I wouldn't have been this wedding any other way. So they were going to get me a championship belt. And she was like, no, I think he'd like the fat head more. To this day, I go, what are you talking about? She goes, oh, would it be really funny to have the big head and all that? Because, you know, your 30th birthday, we had I'm like, we could do that for $26 at Staples. Like, they were going to buy me a title belt?
Wow. These are like $400.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, because she was working with them on deals. Like, WWE sometimes will do deals and it's like 50% off. So I think it was like 100. Like, she told that. They said to her, and I think maybe she was trying to be nice with finances because we never want to like people to go crazy on us. But like, still, like, imagine if I had one of those just at any time. Whether the Winged Eagle, I'm kind of a sleeper on the next level one, the Winged Eagle, but it was in the circle. Like the
Austin. Oh, that has like the little blues on the side.
With I become a little bit of a sucker for that one.
I don't like that one as much. I think I like the classic one a little bit better with the wrestlers on either side of it instead of like the little blue, because then that has the ugly black WWE at the top.
It's also the scratch logo, and that's the old logo, which I'll take that one because that's the one Bret Hart won at WrestleMania 10. The famous photos there, obviously, you have the Hogan belt, the Michaels belt, and then it changed after that. I don't know when the actual change happened because I think it was Undertaker had that one at 13. It was 14 when Austin. I know Austin had the – sorry, Austin never had that belt. But anywho, congrats on that, and it's a kick-ass thing. You think it's somewhere between 7 to 15 pounds. It's got to be, right?
It's definitely over 10 for a fact.
Wow. That's a lot of weight. Imagine if you had to carry that everywhere.
If you got smacked in the face with this, like, yeah, as a kid, I was like, yeah, I won't even, like, why not even face somebody getting hit with a belt? Because we have the shitty belts. And I was like, it can't be bigger than this. You get knocked the fuck out if you got hit just right.
Like, so would you rather take a chair shot to the head? No, in kayfabe.
Yeah, I would rather take a chair shot.
Yeah, I think a chair shot, because when you think about it, there's so many angles and moments, but the belt right to the face, that could knock you out cold.
Knock you out cold, cut you, like, the chair has a lot of soft spots. If you get hit with one of the legs, it's going to hurt, but if it's a classic chair shot where they just square you up right on the seat, I prefer that all day.
As long as you don't get that Sean Spears to Cody chair shot that actually cut him open. That looked bad, but hey, made him famous for a little bit. This week in
the Shared Gooniverse.
All right, so this
week... I got last week's info, don't forget.
All right, so this week in the DSG, I know that Dork did the top 25, well, the top 20, 50 through 25 comic book movies. Mac and Goo did Aliens, the 1989 classic. I don't remember what Change My Mind is doing, but they're probably talking hockey equipment anyways. And then TLDR talking them books, Pineapple Boys, Pineapple and Tomorrow on a more serious episode of Psych. Sean gets shot in the dark. And then we have streamers, Doc on Twitch, Shime on Twitch, Arvon D on YouTube with Keith.
Love it. You know what, Bill? I think we should stream.
Yeah, I stream. I have a account. I just don't stream often.
Yeah, I might even onto the YouTube or something. Just like, I play enough WWE, even if I'm just BSing around. Yeah. Oh, hold on. Better than doing it by myself. I'm doing it by myself, you know, every other night.
That's how I do it.
Amen, brother. All right, Bill, we are going to get out of here. Appreciate everybody for listening. Let us know your favorite songs of the 2007. You can look again on that Billboard end of year chart. You can also check out this podcast, subscribe. Would love, love, love to get a couple more reviews over there. You can subscribe on iTunes. Just search Pop Culture Pile Driver. We'll be back next week, allegedly. Back better than ever. Beautiful, bustling boys that we are. He is Billy D. Bill. Any final words for the fine folks?
Slap it on the biscuit.
Frank says hi.